right. Please rise out of respect for God's word as we read our scripture reading, Matthew 6, 1 through 6, and then verse 16 through verse 18. Reading in the Lord's name. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, so that you can be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward as well. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And jumping ahead to verse 16 through verse 18. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Amen. You may be seated.
Got me on? There we go. Let's please bow our heads together as we prepare our hearts to reflect on that passage that Seth just read for us here. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you once again today that we can gather together and that we can gather around your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would enable each one of us as we reflect upon this passage as well as others that we encounter throughout the week, throughout our personal devotional times or other teaching and preaching that we hear, that you would help us to receive it, Lord, even when it speaks to us and convicts us. We pray that you would always help us to see our sin, to acknowledge our sin, that we might confess it to you and that we might seek your mercy and your grace. So be at work in us in this way today, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as most of you know, today we live in a society, we live in an age that revolves completely around technology, you know, and this has progressed so fast that, you know, people my age, I think we feel old, you know, because you go back to when we were kids and in libraries, you had to use the card catalog system, and we didn't even start tinkering with computers until I was in high school. And all of this has just progressed to the point where now kids are using iPads to do their assignments and use very little paper in the school. It's just amazing. And we also have a culture that revolves around social media. We live in a culture where everywhere we go and where everything we do has to be documented and it has to be put out there for all the world to see, right? Now, in one sense, and I know this, we do this for the sake of convenience. And I know that for me, when I first got on social media, when I first got onto Facebook, yes, I was on MySpace for a short time, but when I got onto Facebook eons ago, I got onto it for a very simple reason. Instead of having to share my pictures with each person individually, I could do so in one place and everybody could see them. And we have to admit it was very handy. Because again, this came along, and I can't remember, after one or two of my kids were born. But when the kids were born, you could just post a picture and everybody could see them, right? When your family hit an important milestone, you could post those pictures and everybody could see them. And when something significant happened in the life of your family, again, you could post the pictures and everybody at the same time could see them. It all took very little effort. So my parents could see them, Sherry's dad could see them, all of our aunts and uncles and cousins could see them, all of our friends, no matter where they were, no matter where they lived around the country, were able to see them. And in the same way, I could go to one place and catch up with the lives of my friends and family. I could catch up even with those that I hadn't seen or talked to in many, many years. And so in this way, friendships that had become virtually non-existent, friendships that had been lost due to time and distance were suddenly restored. Now, of course, with social media, we could say the same thing today, of course. However, if we're honest, I think we'll agree that it's different now than when it all first started. Again, our lives seem to revolve around social media. They revolve around Facebook and Instagram. They revolve around Twitter and Visco. They revolve around TikTok and YouTube and Snapchat and all of the other new apps that are invented so the young people can escape us old people when we suddenly find them. When we go on vacation, you know, we have to post all the pictures. I mean, we snap a picture of the food that we're eating and we have to post that to social media. We have to do the obligatory photo of our feet sticking out, you know, in front of the pool or up against the backdrop of the ocean. And of course, we have to post all of the selfies and the pictures of ourselves in various tourist spots. We, of course, post pictures of our kids and grandkids. We post pictures of birthdays and school field trips and sporting events and prom and weddings. And the list could go on and on. We even post pictures of not only special events or occasions, but even of the everyday, mundane aspects of life. We wake up with really bad hair one morning, and we post that on social media, right? We dress up, and we feel especially nice, you know, and we take a picture of that, and we post it. Or our dog eats the pillow and has stuffing all over the floor, and we take a picture of it, and we post it. And it doesn't seem that our motive is what it once was. It doesn't seem that our motive in doing this is to simply share our lives with others. It seems nowadays our motive quite often, again, I'm not saying this is across the board true, but our motive quite often is to gain attention for ourselves. If a lot of people like our post, we feel pretty good about ourselves. We take pride in that. But if we don't get many likes, we start to feel bad about ourselves. We get discouraged about this. And this is true not only of our personal life, it's true not only of the fun aspects of our life, this has even become true in many cases of our life of faith. You know, people, for example, will post when they're having their devotional time. And it's become so common, it's kind of become a joke. You know, if somebody doesn't post a picture of their open Bible with a cup of coffee, we question if they even had devotions that day, right? We have to see it. When we serve in some sort of way, we have to post about it. If we go on a mission trip, we post about it. If we take part in a service project, we post about it. And if we help out with something like VBS or something like that, we post about it. We often post when we go on a retreat of some sort. We post pictures of our fun activities and, of course, some of the important content that we've received over the course of that retreat. And again, in one sense, this may seem good. It seems good because in this way, we're able to share our faith with others. We're able to share with others what God is doing in our life. And in this way, the gospel is proclaimed. It opens opportunities for us to explain the gospels to others more fully. But in another sense, this can be not such a great thing. It can be not so good because, once again, we're so often drawing attention to ourselves. We're making a spectacle of our faith. We're saying to the world, you know, look at me. Look at what a great Christian I am. Look at what a good person I am. And this is the type of attitude that Jesus is addressing in our lesson for this morning. And of course, it goes far beyond social media. It goes far beyond Snapchat and Visco and Instagram and all of those other sites that we use. It reaches into every aspect of our lives. And so again, going back to verse 1 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus starts by saying this. He says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." And so as we start out, as we read verse 1 of this passage, we see that Jesus is giving to us, as his people, a warning. He is cautioning us. And he's warning us, as we see, against practicing our righteousness before other people. He's warning us against doing so with the intention of being seen by them. He's warning us against using our faith. He's warning us against using our actions in an effort to gain attention for ourselves. Jesus tells us that if this is our motive, if we are doing these things simply that we might be seen by other people, we will have no reward from our Father who is in heaven. We will receive no reward from God. Any blessing that we might have otherwise received is lost. Now let's stop here for just a moment. And let's stop here because, as the gospel assures us, we cannot and we do not earn God's blessings by our actions. We cannot and we do not earn them by the things that we do. And so we have to understand these words in light of this reality. So we need to ask ourselves right now what Jesus is saying here. And we have to ask this because on the surface it may seem that he is saying the opposite of what the gospel tells us. He seems to be saying that by practicing our righteousness privately, we will receive favor and blessing from God. Now again, Scripture is clear that we receive the blessings of God only through faith in Jesus. As we believe in Jesus, as we trust in his promises, God gives to us his blessings as an act of his grace. He gives to us his blessings as a free gift. So it has absolutely nothing to do with our own goodness, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the things that we do. So what this tells us then is that if we are practicing our righteousness before others to be seen by them, this is not an act of faith. If we are practicing our righteousness before others to be seen by them, it's not an expression of our faith. It's rather an act of selfishness on our part. And it's an act of selfishness because in this way, we are striving only to ensure that we're well thought of by those who surround us. It's an act of selfishness because it's an effort on our part to gain attention for ourselves from others. And it's an act of selfishness because it's an effort on our part to gain the admiration, to gain the respect of others. Now, as we get back into our text for this morning, we see that Jesus then goes on to give a few examples of this behavior. He gives a few examples of the ways in which the people of his day were practicing their righteousness before men. And I think you'll see, you'll understand how these also speak to us right where we are at in our own day and age. In each of the examples that Jesus gives, as we move on, he refers to the hypocrites. And I think most of you understand who and what he's talking about here. A hypocrite is literally an actor. That's where that word comes from. And so a hypocrite is a person who is pretending to be something that he's not. So Jesus is telling us then that although these people portray themselves as righteous, in reality they are anything but. Although they portray themselves as faithful, they are in reality unfaithful, and although they seem outwardly to be good people, to those on the outside, it's really nothing more than a facade. It's a false front that is being held up before others. Now, starting in verse 2 of our lesson for this morning, Jesus says this: "Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you." So the hypocrites in his day, Jesus pointed out, would sound trumpets in the streets before them as they went out to give to the needy. And they did so because, again, they were looking for the attention of others. They did so because they wanted to be seen, and they were looking for the pat on the back that others might give to them. They, Jesus says, have received their reward in full. In other words, that pat on the back they were looking for, that's all the reward that they will get. And they're going to miss out on the greater blessing. They are going to, in this way, miss out on the reward of God. We, however, he says, are not to draw attention to ourselves in this way. When we give to the needy, and he uses that expression, we're not to let our left hand know what our right hand is doing. In other words, our giving is to be done in secret. Jesus then assures us that knowing what we have done in secret, our Father, he will reward us. In other words, he will give to us his blessing, and again, he will do so because of our faith. He will do so because our actions were a reflection of our faith. He will do so because in faith we have sought nothing for ourselves, but we have sought instead to glorify God and to love our neighbor as God has called us. We see something similar, as we move on into verse 5. And again, Jesus says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And so again, Jesus tells us that the hypocrites, they love to draw attention to themselves. They love to stand and pray in the synagogue, so their version of church. They love to stand on the street corners. And they love to do so that they might be seen, that they might be looked up to and admired for being such a pious person. So once again, they are looking for the attention of others. And Jesus says they have received their reward. Again, they have received the attention that they have sought. They have received their pat on the back. But once again, that's all they'll get. They will receive no reward from the Father because they have not acted in faith, but because they have once again acted in their own self-interest. But when we pray, he tells us, we are to go into our room and shut the door. And we are to pray to our Father who is in secret. We are to pray to our Father who is hidden or who is unseen. Our prayers then are to be offered because of our love for God. Our prayers are to be offered because of our faith in God. Our prayers are to be offered because of our relationship with God. They are not to flow from our self-interest, but once again from our faith. And when this is the case, Jesus assures us, our Father, and he sees in secret, so he knows what we are doing, he will reward us. Once again, our Father will grant to us his blessing. And the last example that Jesus gives us is found starting in verse 16. And he says there, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So when the hypocrites were fasting, according to Jesus, they made sure that everybody knew about it. They made sure everybody knew what they were doing. And they did so by going out and about looking gloomy, by disfiguring their faces. In other words, they wanted their appearance to give off the impression that they're truly famished. They neglected their appearance, that it might be noticeable to others. So once again, they wanted it to be obvious to other people that they were in want, and they did so that they might be seen. They did so that others might think highly of them. They did so that once again they might receive that attaboy, that pat on the back from those who noticed what was going on. And you know what, as we think about it today, this is something that is often seen among traditional Christians as we enter into the season of Lent, as we're going to be doing so in just a couple of days. And what I mean is that during this season, many of us will engage in some sort of fast. We will give something up for Lent. And while we might not go about trying to give the appearance of being unkempt, a lot of us are anything but secretive when it comes to our fasts. We make an effort to ensure that others know what it is that we are doing. We announce it, again, on social media, right? We make sure others know what it is that we're giving up. And if this is what we're doing, Jesus says, you know what? You've already received your reward. Already, you have received the admiration of others. You've received the attaboys. You've received the pat on the backs. But that's the only thing you'll get. But when we fast, Jesus says, you're supposed to keep your appearance just as you would on any other day. Anoint your head with oil, wash your face, And you're to do so that your fasting may not be seen by others. We're to do so that it might be kept private. Jesus then assures us that our Father who sees in secret will reward us. Once again, he will lavish his blessing upon us. And he will do so because of our faith. Now, this naturally raises an important question that I want to address here before we wind this up here today. Does this mean that other people are never to see our faith expressed? Does it mean that everything about our faith is to be kept private? Does it mean that it's wrong for us if we're out in a restaurant and we want to pray over our meal, that it's wrong to do so if others might notice what we're doing? Does it mean that if someone happens to see us as we're assisting someone else in need, that it becomes meaningless at that moment in time? And does it mean that if somebody happens to find out about our fast in which we are engaging, that we will miss out on God's blessing? And the answer to this question is no. Okay, and let me explain to you why. Every aspect of our faith does not have to be kept private, and our faith is not to be completely hidden from other people. In fact, it's impossible for us, if we truly have faith, to hide it from those who surround us. And we know this because, as Jesus also tells us in Scripture, no one lights a candle and hides it under a basket, right? You remember that? He tells us that a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And his point in making these statements is that our faith will be evident to those around us. It cannot truly be hidden from others. After all, how can we proclaim the gospel to the whole creation if we hide it away? How can we make disciples of all nations if we seek only to keep our faith from them? How can we be his witnesses to the ends of the earth if we only practice it in secret? The issue when it comes to our lesson for this morning is not whether our faith is seen. It's not whether any of our deeds are noticed by others. The issue, it goes back to one of motive. Once again, as I mentioned, the hypocrites were seeking attention for themselves. The hypocrites were looking to boost their reputation among others. They were looking for that pat on the back. Their motive in performing these actions has less to do with God and more to do with themselves. They didn't just happen to be seen while they were praying. They didn't just happen to be seen as they gave a gift to the poor. And people didn't happen to just notice that they were fasting. It was their intention to be seen all along. They went out of their way to make sure that people noticed what it was that they were doing, and they did so that they might receive the praise of men. And it's this type of behavior against which Jesus is warning us this morning. It's this type of behavior that is forbidden. As we practice our faith, as we live out our faith, we are to seek not our glory, but that of God. And so again, just to clarify, I'm not saying that social media is wrong, right? I'm not saying it's wrong to post your vacation pictures or even some type of service in which you are engaged. But as we think about this, as we consider about how it applies to our life, we do have to honestly and sincerely search our heart. We have to ask ourselves about our motive. What is our motive when we are doing these things? What is our motive when we are posting pictures of our service or of our daily devotions? What is our intention when we are putting these things out there for the whole world to see? And it may very well be that our intentions are good and pure. It may very well be that we have sought only to glorify God. But we might also find that we have instead been seeking attention for ourselves. And if this is the case, then that's something to bring to the Lord in a spirit of confession. It's something of which we ought to repent, seeking the forgiveness and the grace of God. And we must rather, going forward, seek only to glorify Christ and to point people only to him. Amen. Let's pray together. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this reminder today. And we thank you for this reminder, especially in a society and in an age where it seems that we are constantly seeking attention for ourselves. We are constantly seeking to get as many followers and likes as we can, and to gain as much admiration as possible from those who surround us. And we pray, Lord, that when we are engaging in this behavior, when these become our motives, that you would convict us, that you would draw our attention to it. And we pray that you would do so not that we might feel bad about ourselves, but rather that we might turn to you for your forgiveness and for your mercy. And we pray, Lord, that you would work within our hearts, that you would change our hearts, so that rather seeking attention for ourselves, that we would only seek attention for you. And we ask this all this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.